Let's turn, please, to Luke chapter 8 for the reading this morning. I'll be reading verses 22 through 25. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Let's give our attention to God's Word. Now, it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Thus we end the reading of God's Word. You may be seated. Let us pray. God, our Father, we pray for the Spirit. We pray for the Spirit to work in the preacher. We pray for the Spirit to work in the hearers, for him to make known the Holy Word. We pray, Father, that as we look into the Word, your Son, Jesus Christ, will be glorified. Give us truth, Father, we pray. Give us ears to hear. Give us arms and legs and minds to obey your holy will. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We encounter a storm this morning on Lake Galilee. Not an unusual event for storms to come down on Lake Galilee. And Jesus shows that he's master of the storm. God had already shown this in Old Testament times. A number of times he had shown how he was master of the waters. And you may remember, as I was thinking about this, Jonah came to mind. And Jonah, you remember, tried to run from the Lord. So he hopped on a ship to go away from the Lord, foolishly thinking he could do that, or hoping he could do that. And of course he couldn't. He found himself in the strange location of the belly of a big fish. And in the belly of a big fish, Jonah prayed. Now, if Jonah can pray in the belly of a big fish, what excuse do we have for not praying? So there he was in the belly of a big fish, and all this had come upon him because he was disobedient to God. And God sent a storm on the Mediterranean to get his attention and to get the attention of the mariners who were on board with him. And the mariners were very superstitious. So they were saying to one another, "Pray to your God that he or whoever may stop this storm." But none of them did. None of their superstitious and idle gods stopped the storm. And so the captain goes down underneath the deck and finds Jonah asleep. How do you sleep on a ship in a storm in the Mediterranean Sea? Well, there he was. And so the captain said, in essence, are you the one responsible for this? Who is your God? Where are you from? And he confessed, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God. And so the crew deducted that Jonah was the cause of this. But ironically, these heathen sailors were hesitant to do what Jonah told them. Jonah said, if you want the storm to stop, toss me into the sea. Surprisingly, they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to see this man die in the storm because they were sure he would. But finally, they did as a last gasp effort. In Jonah 1:16, even the heathen sailors feared the Lord exceedingly, Jonah 1:16 says. They feared the Lord God of heaven and earth exceedingly, Jonah 1:16. And in Jonah 2, verse 2, Jonah prayed, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, Jonah 2:2. You did it, Lord. And Jonah knew, and the wicked sailors knew, that Jehovah God is in charge of the seas. And the Lord Jesus Christ was going to show it here on Lake Galilee. Life is full of storms and crises. We go from one crisis to the next. We go from one storm to the next. They're everywhere around us. Life is full of danger. And Jesus Christ is the master of the storm, and only He can rescue us. And that's the key thought I want to get across to you this morning. Jesus Christ is master of every storm, of every crisis, and only He can rescue us. Jesus had just finished the parables that are recorded in Matthew 13. He had told His disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. They were going from northwestern Lake Galilee to the eastern side of the lake. So they got into the boat together. And down on that lake, Jesus showed that He is master of the storm. I speak to you on that subject this morning with these three headings. First of all, the storm itself. What was this storm like? How would we picture it? The storm. Secondly, the calming of the storm by Christ. He subdued it, of course, under His sovereignty, the calming of the storm. And thirdly, two questions that result from the storm. Two questions brought up by the storm. First of all, the storm itself in verses 23 and 24. In verse 23, Jesus, like Jonah, fell asleep in the storm. Jesus is human and He is divine. You know that. He was with the Father and the Spirit from all eternity. He came to earth and added a body. And He continues to be God and man in one person forever. So here He is, divine and human. He needs rest. He's tired. He's been working. He's always working. He falls asleep and a storm comes on the lake. A whirlwind, a howling tempest. And they can be quite dramatic, I'm told. I've never been on Lake Galilee, but I'm told that it is some 580 feet or so below the level of the Mediterranean Sea. And there are hills around it, and the wind comes crashing down the hills to the low-level lake, making a horrendous storm. And the boat was filled with water. Verse 23, it was filling with water, and the disciples were in jeopardy. And if you're on a watercraft, and it begins to fill with water, you realize you're in danger because the only place that boat could go is down. Besides that, there was wind blowing, which could topple it over. Danger. And yet, some of these guys were professional fishermen. They had been on that lake before. They had been on water many times. They were skilled. They had seen storms. But they were terrified. So you know, I would be terrified. I'm not good on water. I get sick when I'm on a big body of water. I've only been on a big body of water once, I guess, and I became very sick. That's scary enough. And then a storm comes. Just like life. How dangerous is life? We go through a period of time in safety and health, and we forget how dangerous life is. Our mortality escapes consciousness. Things are going well and we don't realize how vulnerable we are. COVID-19 has reminded us. I should say the Lord has reminded us with COVID-19, although perhaps it's exaggerated sometimes. Nevertheless, disease can take our lives. Water can take our lives. Fire can take our lives. We can take each other's lives. Being in the car can result in your losing your life, as happens many thousands of times in this country every year. Life is dangerous, and we forget how dangerous it is when we're walking, when we're talking, when we're working, when we're driving, when we're traveling, when we're in our beds asleep. Danger is around us. But I am more concerned about something else than physical danger. I'm concerned about danger to your soul. That affects your eternity. And spiritual dangers are on every side as well. Again, things are going well. We forget the spiritual dangers. Sometimes you see around a school building, the public school building, a sign that says drug-free zone. And the first time I saw that, I just kind of chuckled to myself. I wish it were that easy. Just put up a sign. No drugs here. Really? There is no such sign. No temptation here. Everywhere you are, there's temptation. If you are by yourself in a room with the door closed, you're not exempt from temptation. Those can be very tempting times. Who you are is revealed when you are alone with no one else but the Lord. I was looking at the weather forecast for New Bern. It's better than the one for Raleigh. We got up under overcast skies, thought it was going to rain, but the further east we came, the brighter it was. Don't worry, you'll get yours too, right? It always comes around. The forecast. We look at that and plan our day and what we're going to wear, how we're going to prepare for it. There is no temptation forecast except you will be tempted. There's no warning except you will be tempted not at 2 p.m., whenever it comes. Spiritual dangers. The only safety we have is 24/7 trust in our Lord and Savior. Constant dependence upon Him. Constant communion of Him. When the trouble comes, yes, you can pray, but it's so much better if you have prepared. Prepare has that prefix. Pre. Before. Get ready before. It's so much better if you're ready before your daily communion with God. As our elder told us this morning, our daily communion with God. Getting back to the storm, the disciples awoke Jesus and said, "Master, Master, we're perishing," in verse 24. A real emergency. In a real emergency, our blood starts pumping faster, hearts beat faster, adrenaline flows. Here we are, ready for it because God has made us that way. Our bodies pump up adrenaline. In emergencies, Christians appeal to Jesus. Don't we? Have you ever forgotten? Have you ever forgotten when an urgent crisis appears right before your face and you forget to appeal to the Lord? It's embarrassing. And it's much better to have consistent fellowship with the Lord . Give us this day our daily bread. We pray for it. Do we do anything about it? How is the Lord going to feed you unless you and I open His book and open our hearts to Him in prayer? The storm is a dangerous time. Secondly, the calming of the storm in verse 24. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Jesus calmed the storm as the Red Sea had been split open for God's people to travel through on dry ground. And by the way, the angel of God was there. The angel of God, Jesus Christ, made an Old Testament appearance and was there at the Red Sea. Or when the children of Israel came to the Jordan River, they were about to enter the Promised Land. And so the priest went into the river and the Lord opened it up so that the people could walk over into the Promised Land. Jesus, God the Son, has power over creation. This is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You have put all things in subjection under His feet, that is man's feet. You have put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now, we do not yet see all things put under Him, that is man. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Hebrews 2, 8 and 9. Man doesn't exercise His dominion as He should. We sin. Adam sinned. And so that's why we have this big mess all the time. That's why we have so many problems. because we did not take the dominion as we were supposed to. But we see Jesus, who does have dominion. And one day he will clearly show that at the end of time. There will be a new heavens and a new earth, and all will be well. And Jesus, the one who has dominion, has power over every storm and every crisis of life. So when temptation is raging, Jesus has control over that, and we must appeal to him. You know that. But sometimes we forget. When sorrow is overwhelming you, when anger and bitterness are deep in your heart and you can't get it out, when you have a medical condition that has you anxious and your spouse and your family, the Lord Jesus Christ has dominion over that and the power to take you out of that. And he will, one way or another. He will help you through. All of these crises bring with them temptations. Affect your relationship with the Lord. When we're in sorrow, we might become angry with him. Or when we have a medical condition, we might ask, Lord, why are you doing this to me? I don't deserve this. Crises. The Lord Jesus can help us in any temptation. We must be constantly in touch with him, praying to him, seeking his strength. And even in the storm, which is the worst storm, the storm of death, he has promised to help us through that. He has said he will never leave us nor forsake us, as has been read earlier. I'm sure some of you children at least have read Pilgrim's Progress, and some of you adults. You know how John Bunyan talks about Pilgrim arriving at the celestial city, but he has to cross the river before he arrives in the celestial city. And so in many gospel songs that the church has sung, there's this thing about crossing the river, making transition before we get to be with the Lord forever, a metaphor for entering his presence. One such hymn says, "When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction. Land me safe on Canaan's side." And the Lord Jesus Christ will carry all his followers safely to the other shore because Jesus calms the storm. Thirdly, two questions come out of this storm. In verse 25, Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." The first question is, where is your faith? Jesus asks his disciples, "Where is your faith?" Something was wrong, obviously. Something was wrong. Where is your faith? What is it that they did not do? When the crisis comes, we tend to get anxious. We react. We may be confused, upset, angry, and that's normal. But in the midst of our feelings, which come without our really trying to conjure them up, they just come. In the midst of them, Is there still faith? Where is your faith? When you're nervous, where's your faith? When you're upset, where's your faith? When it's not going well, where is your faith? Jesus asks us, do we have any faith even when we might die? Is there any evidence of faith? Do we exercise faith at that very moment, or do we suddenly think there's no hope? Not a good thought for a Christian to have, because you know better, and I know better. The disciples failed in a great emergency. Isn't it humiliating how quickly we can fall? We can fail. But we're vulnerable. Any little thing can shake us, like dropping something on the floor. A little thing that goes wrong can upset us way too much if we're followers of Jesus Christ. I don't want to take away our humanity. We're human. We have feelings. We have emotions. God made us that way. Our emotions must be governed by grace, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need some recovery time, you know. Not only do we need recovery time from surgery and physical things, we need some spiritual recovery time, because we're sinners. And we're human. How soon does it come? Is the faith there? J.C. Ryle was commenting on this passage, and J.C. Ryle said, to have true saving faith is one thing. To have faith always ready for use is quite another. Is your faith always ready for use? Jesus Christ is always ready to help you. He may not help you as quickly as you want, or I want, that's for sure. I want it instantly, don't you? But He will help us when He is pleased and when it's best for His glory. He has power to subdue any crisis. It is our responsibility in the power of the Holy Spirit to exercise faith. Where is your faith? The second question, who can this be? These are the disciples. Yes, we can imagine. Well, we might imagine Judas saying that. But this was a general thing among the disciples, his closest followers. Who can this be? What had they learned? What had they learned from Jesus and about Jesus? They were still learning, and so are you, and so am I. They were afraid. Master, Master, we're perishing. They were afraid. Jesus' closest followers, thank you. Jesus' closest followers were afraid. So are we sometimes, more than we like to admit. So are we. That's one reason Jesus said, where's your faith? That's one reason they said, "Who can this be?" Another reason they asked, "Who can this be?" is because of the awesomeness of Jesus. The winds and the waves obey Him. Who can it be? We forget the awesomeness of Jesus. We forget the awesomeness of Jesus in the crisis. When the crisis begins, sometimes we think, maybe many times we think, the crisis is greater than Jesus. Oh, wow, come on. Men and women of faith, come on. Who can this be? Because they were learning the awesomeness of Jesus. And maybe it's not such a bad thing sometimes when we say to ourselves or to each other, "Who can this be? He's so much greater than I even thought." Wow. Says my soul. He's so much greater than the enemies who spiritually oppose you, who spiritually are after you. The world, your own flesh, my own flesh, and the devil. He's so much greater. And we're just learning how much greater He is, and He gained the victory over our sins and over the world, our flesh, and the devil when He lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and arose again from the dead, and He's coming back to show us. And we'll see it in full splendor and full recognition that He's the master of the storm. He's telling us to depend on Him in every trial, in every crisis, in every day, in every hour. You and I don't realize it, but even when things are going great, we are still dependent on Him. Even when your body is healthy, He's upholding it. You're eating your good food and you're getting your exercise, He's still upholding it. You're not doing it by yourself. And neither am I. If you really, really know who Jesus is, you know you'll make it through the storm. You'll know the answer to the question, "What kind of man is this?" What have we learned? What has the Holy Spirit taught us? He's taught us this. If you do not trust in Christ, if you do not repent of your sins, you will be overtaken by the crises of life. And you will tremble at the crises as they come, but most especially at the final judgment. And you will be lost forever. But if you do trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you do continue to repent of your sins, and if you do walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, you will be safe. For Jesus Christ is the master of every storm. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Give us grace, O God, to trust in you in good times and bad, in everyday life and in crisis. Give us that grace, we pray. Amen.